the show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
Yeah, welcome to the program. We've reached the end of the first week, the first full week of the year. How do you like it so far? If you're an investor. Actually, if you're a saver, you probably love it. We're going to explain why. We're standing by, though. Johnny Dean, that's me, Professor Plum, standing by to bring you the best of money information, best of money strategies. Professor Plum is the highly respected, revered person. He's back again from Lucia Capital Group, starting things off with a discussion on how to determine just how much money you're going to need in retirement. Now, what is your retirement number? I don't know, but it can be difficult to know exactly what you're going to need to retire on when you're in your 30s. But of course, you can plan your way forward by working the numbers backward. I guess that's an okay way to do it. So what does that mean? Well, we're going to tell you all about that coming up. It's also going to have to do with saving as well, because not knowing what you need at age 30 is not necessarily a problem. Problem is, if you're not saving, you're not going to reach any number whatsoever. So keep that in mind as we talk about this, how to save and all that. The odds are pretty good that you got a money question or two or three that need answering right now, so you can give us a call. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER, 877-752-6637. Got some lines open here at the top of the show. You can also email us right here in the studio. Get it to us immediately at wealthed.com. You can just look for the Find Your Answer link on the upper part of the page, and you'll be good to go. Professor Rick Plum here with me, standing by, ready to answer more of your money questions. And remember, if you want to talk to any brain trust advisor about your portfolio and you want to do so off the air, you give the advisors a call at Lucia Capital Group. Their phone number off the air, 800-644-1150. Write it down. Talk to them. Your Bucket's plan, honestly, should be tailored to meet your specific goals. No generic advice here. No two plans are alike. No piece of advice is ever right for every single person. That's why we talk about what we do on the show. It's why we do what we do right here. The number, once again, at Lucia Capital Group, 800-644-1150. Now, on the air, our number in studio, 877-PLANNER. Mention this, we've got all the lines open right now, so there's plenty of room for you to call, ask your money question. Whether it's on Social Security or retirement, doesn't matter. We're here to answer it for you. Saving is another issue right here. I keep seeing and I keep reading, Professor Plum, that Americans don't have enough money to retire. I mentioned this yesterday.
Yet people retire every day.
They retire every day.
Somehow, most of them make it work. Now, the problem is that the problem isn't that they don't have enough money to retire. It's they don't have enough money to retire the way they want to.
Well, I suppose that is true. Anybody can retire. You can retire with no money.
Right, and unfortunately, some people do.
Yeah, and you're just not going to be able to have the kind of life that you want to. Thursday, Fidelity Investments reported that 55% of Americans don't have enough money saved to cover their basic needs in retirement. Now, I'm wondering, how do they know this?
And what do they consider basic
saving
needs?
Well,
that's the biggest problem, I think. You can't have a shortfall until you determine what the need is.
Yeah.
How do you determine what the basic needs of an average individual? Are we talking an average individual? Are we talking about categorizing different people in moderate incomes, high incomes, moderate, middle incomes? I mean, what are we looking at?
Well, yeah, and when they're saying they don't have enough saving, well, does that count somebody with a fairly generous pension who perhaps doesn't need to put as much money away into maybe IRAs or 401ks?
I've met people that have more pension income between pension and Social Security then they know what to do with.
Right. So why is that person being...
That's not the common person. That's,
no,
that's an outlier,
people,
but I mean, it happens.
There are people like that. So if it would come up in a survey, it says, how much have you saved in your for retirement? How much do you have in your retirement
account?
I've got
$20,000 in my 401k or whatever it is, or my bank account. They
right.
don't need a huge amount of money.
Exactly.
So they're bringing the average down. On the other side, there's a couple people who have saved tremendous amounts of money in their 401ks, multiple millions of dollars in them. And they don't need very much at all because they've paid off other things. Mm-hmm. They've been savers and investors from day one. And they're skewing that average number of the average portfolio number the other way.
You know, and it's a scary thing because there are people who are in their 50s and they've been saving, but they've been doing it on their own. They haven't really looked into the numbers a whole lot. And they figure they need, maybe 80 grand in retirement, or they call it 90 grand, something like that.
Right.
And they're
going to
get
where?
Well, yeah. And so they say, okay, well, this is what I need. So I'm guessing because we're making 100, 110, something like that. So we can get by on maybe 90. So Social Security is going to cover like, you know, 20 to 30, which means I'm going to need, call it, you know, $60,000, $65,000, $70,000, something like that in retirement. And then they work the numbers and they find out, well, wait a minute.
If I'm doing this
4% thing, you know, what is that? About $1.6 million or $1.7 million, something like that?
Well, for $60,000, it's $1.5 million.
Okay, yeah, so somewhere in the 60s, between $1.5 million and $1.7 million. Well, they look and they say, I had like, you know, I've got $500,000 or so, which I thought
was a decent amount. Right, but you said they were in their 50s. They still have time. They got 10 years to
10 years to go from 500 grand to 1.6 million?
Okay, well, and that's where we come into how much money do we need to start with? I mean, we have already. And how much money do we need to save? Now, what can we earn over that 10-year period of time?
Call it 10 years, yeah. If you put 7% on that, but you're putting the whole thing, 41%.
$41,000 a year. $42,000, give or take. $40,000+ a year to get the $1.6 million number.
Over 10 years. That's for most people. If you're making $80,000, $90,000, $100,000, that's not going to work.
Right, but if you're making $200,000, a lot of times if you are able to save that, that means you're going to retire on about $100,000 a year because you're paying your FICA off the top. You're paying $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 in income taxes and other things. You're paying $40,000, $50,000 into savings. So you're really living currently on $100,000. So you have to look at those issues. But it is, and that's where I think a lot of people end up not wanting to do the numbers. They don't want to know how big of a number the shortfall is. And that's why starting early is so much more important than anything else. And not knowing your number when you're 25 is no big deal, because guess what? There's absolutely no way you could know your number when you're 25. It's going to change all through based on economic conditions, what happens in your life going forward. Just start savings.
Okay, so
whether you're 25, 35, 45, get it going.
So how do I know, let's say I've just been saving. I haven't thought about any kind of number. And then I get into my 50s, I'm in my mid-50s, let's say, and I think, you know, I'm 10 years away. I should know what I'm shooting for here.
Right, so you have
to. So how do you figure this?
So you have to take a look at one of two things. Either you try to figure out what your number is based on, you know, the goal you mentioned earlier. You said I wanted $100,000 a year, 60 of it, 70 from my portfolio. And by those numbers, it's an unreal. If you say, okay, you need to save $42,000 a year. And if I tell you, John, you need to save $42,000 a year to have the goal that you outlined, and you tell me, ha, fat chance, that's not going to happen. Okay, now let's look at what is realistic. Either working longer, which may or may not be, or already going to be 65. So what can you do to change your expectation? Because if you can't save it, you've got to change the other side, which is the output. What can you do to lower your need in retirement? Are you going to move? You've talked about it in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You've talked about the fact that your wife doesn't agree with you on this.
Well, it's just got to be 70 degrees all year round wherever we go.
Yeah,
that's okay, all that's important.
you had talked about, you know, moving to a place that was less expensive. Now, you don't necessarily have to move from a high expense state to a lower expense state. But you may have to move further out away from town.
Mm-hmm.
You may have to move down from the McMansion you currently live in into something that may be a little bit smaller and more reasonably priced, something that you could afford, and maybe either cut your expense because you're not carrying a mortgage into retirement, or use some of the equity in your house to pay for and have no mortgage in retirement. You know, you need to take a look at it. Otherwise, it's going to be a very unfortunate experience when you get out to retirement and say, okay, I'm ready to retire. I'm 65. I can't work any longer. My back is out. I'm done. And I've got $600,000 and I want $90,000 a year. Well, and I need 60 of it from the portfolio. That's a 10% distribution. It's not going to last that long. And that's an unhealthy realization.
Yeah, okay. So let's say you're close to retirement and you're a couple and you're pulling in $80,000 just to pick out a number. How do you figure how do you know how much you actually need to have by the time you're, you know?
That's the hard part. And so the first thing is to try to envision retirement. What is going to be different from what you're spending now? What is going to be the same, or what's going to change? So we're looking at $80,000 gross between a husband and wife in your example. Well, there's a big cost in the front of what are you currently putting into your 401ks and savings. That's not going to necessarily continue into retirement. So we don't need 80. You're putting in 10,000. We need 70,000.
Okay, now it's down to 70.
We're putting in we're putting in $6,000 a year into FICA. Now we're down to $64,000. Where's our medical expense going to come from? That may go up from what we're currently spending. And just kind of work into the numbers and say, okay, I really need $65,000 a year, or this couple that John brought up needs $65,000 a year. Where is the money going to come from? Now we start looking at what income sources are there. Are there any pensions? What is your Social Security projected to be? That's why we talk about Social Security a lot, because it has a big impact on the overall. So maybe the Social Security combined between the two individuals is $30,000 a year. So I needed 64, and we're getting 30. Now I need $34,000 a year.
Now it looks a little more manageable.
Portfolio. That doesn't mean $1.6 million anymore.
Exactly.
That's a little bit less of but it's still close to $1 million.
Well, all right, but it's not 1.6. You just cut your need by, you know, $500,000-$600,000. Okay, some factors to consider when saving for retirement. We'll cover those when we come back. Along with your phone calls, lines are open. 877-PLANNER, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. Don't go away. Bucket Strategy Investing, Johnny Dean and Professor Rick Plum. We welcome him back after a two-day absence out in the Pacific Northwest. What are you doing? Talking to a whole group of people and teaching them all about buckets and all that, right?
We had several meetings through the day, through the area. Did a little bit of driving around the Northwest.
All right, I was concerned that you're going to talk too much and you have no voice for the show left today.
I was coughing quite a bit.
Yes, okay, that's fine. Cough all you want away from the show.
I hope I didn't make anybody sick, but I had an opportunity to see what some people do with their money when they have the basics covered.
Yeah.
I got to enjoy somebody's private car collection. Oh. It was gorgeous.
Really?
Yeah, they were just a car nut, and they started collecting cars, and he's got a little warehouse with the most beautiful, beautiful cars.
Well, you see, and this is the kind of thing
that's their passion.
This is the kind of thing that should be thought of in retirement. So if you talk about somebody who has the basics covered, you can do things like this. And so that's why we talk about having enough income in retirement. It's what we're doing today. And by the way, speaking of Professor Plum and Terry Keyes, who was here the last couple of days, they're going to be teaming up for the 2016 version of the Retirement Income Strategies Workshop. Lucia Capital Group putting these on again. The spring version is here. So the next one, or whatever, is going to be on the 20th of February. These are all Saturdays, by the way. February 20th in Las Vegas, Saturday, February 27th in Seattle, and then March 12th in Phoenix. Those are the next three scheduled workshops. We got a little ways to go, but just mark it down.
A Las Vegas kickoff. Cool.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. Kind of nice. You go to wealthed.com. I think the sign-up's there now, but if it's not, okay, it's not yet. All right. Well, they're just firming up all the details, but you can still sign up. You give them a call off the air at 800-644-1150 and sign up. These will be great, informative as always, and plus you get to meet the Brain Trust. What could be better than that? All right. Our number in studio, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. We're talking about saving for retirement.
Yes.
You want to have enough to be able to cover the basics. If the basics are covered, you don't have to worry about anything else. The rest could be, you know, conceivably gravy. Now, basics could cover a lot of things. But some things to consider, there are various things you need to consider when you are saving for retirement. And this professor refers to the accumulation phase.
Right. And without the accumulation phase, there can't be a distribution phase.
No.
And you have to accumulate first.
Exactly. Well, I mean, you can distribute as much as you want, but
if you never accumulated anything, you can't distribute
it. No, there's nothing to do, nothing to distribute. So there are things that we're going to be talking about shortly that have to do with Roth IRAs versus traditional IRAs. When do you think about those? 401k, do you do that instead of a Roth, instead of an IRA? Do you do both? You talk about your age. What is your current portfolio? Do you have a pension? All these things that need to be considered when you're saving for retirement. So we'll talk about all this and much more. Phone lines are open, though, as I said, 877-PLANNER. We just have three lines open, so grab one while you can. We lost a couple people during the break. So let's move on to Paul, then, is up next in Surprise, Arizona. Hi, Paul. How can we help you today?
Hi, guys. Got a question regarding my 401k contributions with my company. So the question is, I'm at 15%. They say that's the good point to be at for contributions. But my question is this. Is it safe to raise that percentage based on what the market's doing right now? It's been bad probably the last quarter, and this past week's been abysmal at best. Is there any set rule on if it's safe to raise, or should I lower that, or should I, you know, down 10%?
How old are you, Paul?
I'm 54.
Okay, and so the money that you're contributing to this portion of the plan, you're contributing it to the, obviously, the more aggressive side if you're worried about what the market's doing right now.
And I am, yes.
And so that aggressiveness, that volatility, is actually potentially helping you. And so I would not lower it. And this is where a lot of people make mistakes with 401ks. They may continue to contribute the same amount, but they change. They're afraid of the market when it's going down, so they stop contributing to the volatile side of the portfolio and then start building up cash as the market's going down. Well, we never know when it's going to hit bottom, and it comes back, and they're still sitting in cash. So when it comes back, they didn't earn anything on that, really. So contributing to the volatile portion, if anything, I would start increasing it. 15% is a nice number. 54 is an issue. Now, how much have you already put together in your 401ks, your investment portfolios?
Well, for my 401k, it's up to 37K right now.
Okay.
And then I have some Roths also with in mutual funds, but I believe the 401k is not a Roth, obviously.
Well, it could be a Roth. So the many 401ks have Roth options now.
This one isn't. It's not a Roth.
Married or single?
Single.
Okay. And how much are you currently earning?
Annually,
ballpark.
Yeah, probably around about 70, between, well, no, 60 would be safer to say.
Okay, and then I would try to, if you can afford to, increase your contributions to your 401k. And so I would increase it, and I would focus on putting it into the volatile areas so that when it goes up and down, you're getting that average, that dollar cost averaging aspect, and you've got at least 10 more years probably to work
and
build this up. And even if you only have 10 more years, and we're talking about that's kind of at the lower end of the time horizon for the stock market, you're not going to spend 100% of this money the day you retire. So as the market comes back, having some money in safer accounts is fine, but continue to dollar cost average. Push the envelope. Make it 17%. When you get comfortable with that, make it 18%, 19%. Just keep pushing it, but always push the new contributions into the more volatile areas of your asset allocation. And as you get close to retirement, 5, 6, 7, 8 years out from retirement, take some of the existing capital that you've created and move it into the balanced area, move it into the stable value area. And you can deal with that being safe so that it's ready to go when you want to retire, but keep dollar cost averaging into the longer term growth oriented assets. And keep pushing it.
Okay, Paul.
Appreciate your help.
You bet. Okay, thank you. Thank you for the call. This kind of goes along with what we've been talking about. You know, people look at the market, they look at what's been going on over the last 4 or 5 days, and they start to panic because they think something bad is happening. And so, rather than maybe contribute to their 401k or contribute to any kind of equity-based savings account, they pull back.
Right.
And
for him, the one other question you mentioned earlier is Roth or 401k.
Yes.
And in his situation, I would do the 401k, the tax-deductible 401k. He's in a 25% bracket right now, maybe the 15% bracket, but he has $37,000 in his 401k and Roth IRAs. It's going to be very difficult to push the envelope hard enough to get that 401k up to a point where when he starts taking distribution from it, that'll be taxable and also have the Social Security be taxable. Mm-hmm. So he's probably going to be in a 0% tax bracket when he retires, unless he can really push the envelope hard. And so as he starts building that 401k and he gets it up into the 100,000 range or more, then it may change my attitude towards whether he should be doing the deductible or Roth ideas. But right now, I like the idea of the 401k deduction because he's in a higher tax bracket than he will be in retirement.
Yeah, and he's, what, about 10 years away or so?
Give or
maybe?
Take.
Yeah, so he's got some time, but he doesn't have a lot of time.
Right.
All right, 877-PLANNER. We do have some room on the phones now. 877-752-6637. If you've got a saving question, retirement question, a money question of any kind, Social Security, insurance, doesn't matter, you give us a call. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, the Brain Trust, standing by on Buckett Strategy Investing.
When the truth is found to be.
Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, Grace Slick, we're all together here on the program answering your money questions. 877-PLANNER is our number. Yeah, all right. I posted it. That counted. It was fading, but I posted it. If you want to get in touch with us, we do have a couple of lines open right now. 877-752-6637. Talking about saving. For retirement, are you on the right path to retirement? Well, we're going to find out. Yeah, you give us a call, 877-752-6637. Let's go next to Greg in Seattle, Washington. Hello, Greg.
Hi, Rick.
Hello.
I listen to your show all the time, and to be truthful with you, I haven't really done any planning for retirement, but I've done what I could.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if I'm on the right track, but I've got a whole mix of different things going on, and I'm 53 now.
Okay. Married or single?
And I'd like to retire between 55 and 59.
Okay.
So
wow.
Earliest version would be about a year and a half.
Okay. Do you have any pensions?
At 55, I can collect about $2,000 a month. And I have about $250,000 in a Roth IRA / 401k mixture.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry, Roth IRA / IRA mixture.
Okay.
And I have about $300 in a 401k.
Okay.
And I have about $100,000 in savings. I owe about $100 on my house.
All right.
And I probably have about $100 in precious metals.
Still? It hasn't gone down?
Well, you know, it fluctuates, but I don't watch it. That's not the kind of thing you need to watch.
Right. So let's say that are you married or single? I missed that earlier.
I'm single.
Okay. 2 years from now, you're 55 years old.
Yeah. You've
had enough. You just want to get the heck out of Dodge.
Yeah.
How much do you need?
Well, right now, I make about $100,000 a year, and I live on one paycheck a month.
Well, how many times do you get paid a month? Once a month or four times?
Twice a month.
Okay, so you're living on 50.
Yep.
Okay, so you're going to get $24,000 a year from your pension. Now, in the future, will you have Social Security as well?
Probably not. I mean, the Social Security Fund is scheduled to go bankrupt by the time I hit 66.
Nah, don't okay, ignoring the hype. Yeah, we got some stuff to talk about that.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you paying into Social Security?
I am paying into it, yes.
And have you seen what your benefit may look like, assuming everything works out right?
Yeah, I've seen it. I don't recall exactly what it is. Something like $1,900 or $2,000.
Okay, so let's discount that and make it $1,000.
Okay.
They're not going to take away your Social Security.
They're not going
to take away half of it either,
by the way.
They're not
going to take away any of it, believe me.
Well, that's why I'm calling you guys.
Yeah.
So you've got about, not including the cash, but between the precious metals, the 401k, the IRAs and things, you've got about $650,000 of assets right now.
Okay.
If we just apply the old basic 4% guideline, 650 would give us about $26,000 a year. $26,000 a year plus the $24,000 a year that you're getting from the pension is $50,000 a year. So that puts you right on track with what you're spending right now without including anything in the future from Social Security.
Okay.
So you are on track. Now the question is, do you have the assets in the right areas? You have IRA money. You have Roth IRA money. You have 401k money. And so if you wait until 55 to actually quit working, you stay employed until 55 with this current employer where the 401k is, and the 401k administrator allows you to take distributions periodically, you can take money directly from the 401k without any type of penalty.
As long as I don't roll the 401k
to an IRA.
To an IRA.
Right. And so that now starts identifying where we're going to start putting the money. So part of your 401k, that $300,000, should be in a safer account that starting 2 years from now, we can start drawing down at, you know, $2,000 a month or whatever the number is.
And would you suggest drawing from the 401k first?
Well, it's one of the only places you can get it. With the IRA, we can't touch for at least
okay.
you know, in 59
yeah,
and a half.
Okay.
The Roth IRA, you mentioned $250,000 between IRA and Roth IRA. How much is in Roth? How much is in traditional?
Let me think. Probably about, I would say it's probably even.
Okay. And the Roth's about $125,000. So you have after-tax contributions in the Roth IRA. You've been contributing or converting money to that Roth IRA. So you have a basis. So what we could do is turn that Roth IRA into an income stream and maybe take, you know, $10,000 a year out of the Roth IRA to supplement some other income. So instead of taking, you know, $26,000 from the 401k, you take $16,000 from the 401k and you take $10,000 from the Roth. Now, it
okay.
is early. You're going to have to file a tax return, and we want to make sure that we have at least $50,000 of after-tax money, because each year you're going to have to say, well, I'm reducing my basis in my Roth IRA, meaning it's not taxable. But that's a way to blend the incomes to keep you in the 15% bracket going forward. And it'll continue on, and then it'll get us out to age 59 and a half so we can then have access to the IRA. But we need to set up a game plan, not only from an asset allocation standpoint, but from a penalty standpoint, to be able to take the distributions at the appropriate time. So we want to,
okay.
first off...
So what I really hear you saying is that when I'm ready to go, I need to make sure to go, probably take a couple of visits to a financial planner, and we need to get a plan on how all these assets are going to be used and when.
I would say not when you retire. I would say now.
Now?
Yeah,
okay.
Because you want to make sure, like, you probably need to have about $100,000, $120,000 of your overall portfolio in very safe, secure accounts, so that no matter what happens over the next 2 years between 53 and 55, you can still retire when you want to, rather than staying more aggressive and watching your 650 turn into 550.
Right.
So you
right.
want to set yourself up now, bucketize yourself now, put enough money into bucket number one to draw the appropriate amount of cash flow from age 55 to 60, and then create
okay.
bucket number two. Allocate the assets the right way now so that when the time comes, when it's your decision time, it's up to you to flip the switch and say, okay, start sending me some money. It's not up to the market to say, oh, it's a good time in the market to retire. Because there's a lot of times where the market is not your friend, and over a two-year period of time, that can be a little aggressive. So set
yeah.
yourself up now. And if you decide at 55 you don't want to quit, don't quit. Keep working. Fine. It's because you enjoy what you're doing. But if you decide to quit, you know everything's in place. All the ducks are in a row. Let's flip the switch and start taking your income and enjoy life.
Okay. Well, you've been very helpful.
Okay. If you need any help with this, hang on, Greg. We will... Professor Plum can go over some more of the numbers with you. He asked some great questions. And it's good that he's thinking about this. Now, he's 53.
Right.
Fairly young.
And so he wants to retire at 55.
He wants to retire somewhere between 55, 56, somewhere in there.
And based on what he said he might need, he's right in the game the glide path for doing it. And we're not even including Social Security. And it will be there.
It'll be there, yeah.
Okay, so maybe they change from 1900 to 1800. It's not going to go broke. They're not going to take it all away. And I don't care what you read on the internet, there's going to be some amount of Social, especially for a 53-year-old. Now, 55, wow, that's a great idea to retire at 55.
Well,
jealous.
Okay, so now he's 53, he's 2 years out. You're suggesting that he start bucketizing now because of his 650, I mean, a lot of that is invested in some...
He's in probably more growth-oriented investments.
Well, because half of it's 50, a 401k.
And 53, you know, you still consider yourself young, you're still going for growth. But in the terms of an accumulation phase, he's at the end of his accumulation
phase. If he wants to retire in 2 years.
If he wants the option
yeah.
at his choice, not the market's choice, at 55 to retire. And so what I would suggest is, first off, going through and creating the appropriate allocation. How much money should I have in bucket number one? Probably about $100,000, $120,000. How much money should I have in bucket number two, bucket number three, down the line? And then now I know how much money. Now,
okay.
which account should I put it into? I know that I can't touch the IRA, so that's not bucket number one. I know that I can potentially touch the Roth IRA, at least the principal, as long as I'm willing to fill out the tax return, the 8606, and say, yes, I'm using up some of my principal, my contributions and my converted principal, assuming you didn't make the conversion of 125 last year. And so that's got a five-year time window. Right. So I mean, you've got to layer in all these different aspects to know that you've got it in place. And like I said, if he decides he doesn't want to retire at 55, there's no harm in that.
Okay, let's say he bucketizes this in the way you suggest. He's 53, he's getting ready, he's thinking of retiring at 55. He's living on half of his income. So he's got about $50,000 a year.
And he's going to save more than what I'm putting in here.
Well, yeah, so he's got, where does that saving go now? Does it just go into a bucket three?
The bucket. I do believe that the new savings that he's contributing, it's not the money he's going to be spending at 55. It's not the money he's going to be spending even at 65. It's the money he's going to be spending at 75, maybe. And so, yes, he's got time horizon for that more. Even though he's only going to work for two more years, the new contributions go to the more volatile bucket, what we call bucket number three, side of the house. Put your ducks in a row, fund it correctly, put the appropriate accounts in the right area, and then you don't have to worry about the market.
No, market takes a dive. If it ever does, it will at some point. Even over the next year or two, you're not concerned about that because you've got your income set up for the next five, six, 7 years. 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. Do you have enough to get to retirement? Give us a call. Bucket Strategy Investing. Gotta play it, man. Gotta play it. Faces. Welcome back to the program. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, Bucket Strategy Investing, answering your money questions. And there's another hour just ahead, so more of the same, or maybe more of a whole lot different. Who knows? It's up to you. You give us a call. 877-PLANNER. Back to the phone lines. Tim is up next in Henderson, Nevada. Hi, Tim.
Hi, guys. My wife and I make too much to contribute directly to our Roth. But so we've been doing the conversions every year, you know, open a non-deductible IRA and then converting it right away. Can we still do that this year?
They have not changed the rules on that. There is talk that they're going to try to limit the ability for an individual to convert, do the Roth two-step. But they haven't done anything about it yet. So at this point, the Roth two-step is still on the books, is still allowed.
But I should wait to do it, or...
No, I wouldn't wait. I mean, might as well. I mean, you're talking about doing it for 2015 or doing it for 2016?
2016.
The worst case scenario is that if, and I don't know if they will or not, I can't say for sure, Congress sometimes will surprise me how quickly they act on things and then surprise me how they never act on some things. So I'm not going to make a call on whether they can or can't change this, but I'd rather do it now. And if they change it, I'll deal with it then. I can always undo it between now and October of 2017 if I want to.
Okay. And then also, when I Googled that, I came across an article. I don't know if you've heard of this, the step transaction doctrine.
Right, that's what they're looking at using to try to eliminate the ability to do the Roth two-step.
Well, it looks like they could go back and tax me all these years on all these conversions.
Well, they haven't classified it as a step transaction, and I think that they would... this is me speculating, not anything. I think that they're just going to, rather than apply that doctrine to it, one of the other ways to go about doing it and creating less problems politically, because that's what they want to do, and make it, basically stop it going forward, they would say something to the effect, and what they've talked about more was that they would not allow a conversion of after-tax money to a Roth IRA. And so how they do it, now, anytime we're doing something that is currently legal and that has some ability to be rationalized in the Congress's eyes as illegal, they can go back to day one and say Roths are going to now be taxable. I don't think that's going to happen, but I don't know for sure. If you're worried about them changing tax law and it's going to keep you up at night, it's going to cause you anxiety, don't do it. But I don't know what they're going to do. I don't see them going back and hitting everybody that's done it for the last couple of years just out of spite. I mean, I see them, if they're going to do it, they would stop it from one tax year forward, but I don't see them going back into previous tax years and screwing with people that have done it in the past when it was totally legal to do.
Okay.
But it is Congress, and I don't control them.
I don't see them doing anything with the Roth, frankly. That's my own opinion, because Roths There's too much tied up in people's Roths at this point.
But by definition, the Roth two-step does, it's only available to people that make higher than the average wage.
Which is another reason why I don't think anything's going to happen to it.
But that would be, from a political standpoint, the easiest target.
But actually doing it, I don't know. You know, you're going against the people, the very people that are giving them all this money, bribing them with all this money to enact legislation. I just have a problem.
People like Tim, I don't think that he's the one that's giving them all the money. It's
the people that make
tens of millions of dollars, not the people that make hundreds of thousands of dollars
that are bribing them. You could be right. All right, 877-PLANNER. Tim, if you have any other questions, hold on. Got to get to a couple of calls. Let's see. Scott is up next in Tacoma, Washington. Hello, Scott.
Good morning.
What's up?
Well, my question is, I have been a self-employed individual and a person who has worked as a 1099 for about the last 11 years, and I've just been offered an opportunity to take a W-2 position where I actually have to go back to work. My goal is to diversify my portfolio so that in the next 4 to 8 years, I will be able to fully retire as a very comfortable individual.
Okay.
Right now, my portfolio is very undiversified, where I have basically everything in either cash or real estate. When I start this job, what should I plan on doing with the income generated?
Well, you're not going to have all that many options. You're going to want to max out your 401k if they're offering that, but that's only going to be – how old are you, Scott?
53.
You can put $24,000 of your wages into that. So that would build up a stock portfolio or a diversified portfolio outside of the real estate and the cash. You could start using some of the cash, you know, identify how much money you want in cash for emergency purposes and for potential investment opportunities down the line, and then invest the rest of that into a more diversified growth portfolio. But we'd want to look back. You want to retire in 4 to 8 years? Some of the money needs to be in fairly safe environments, because four years is not a very long time horizon.
No, but I'm reasonably flush with real estate, and I could probably stay retired if I wanted to. It's just that, I'd like to diversify the food income and not just eat top ramen as well.
So what you're looking to do is maybe you're not necessarily looking to sell any of the real estate. You're looking to then start building up another area. The other area would be, you've got cash and stocks, cash and real estate, so the other area would be stocks or mutual funds that are invested in stocks, ETFs and things, growth-oriented investments other than real estate. Start building up in that area. The 401k is a great area to do it because it happens automatically. Finding out, first off, let's figure out how much income we need. How much income do we need from the portfolio, not including the real estate, over and above the real estate? And then identify what we can do with the investments to be able to take advantage of the short-time horizon and the long-time horizon. But the new money, that definitely, the 401k money, that goes to growth-oriented investments.
Is that going to affect the potential draw from that infamous Social Security at some prime age? I'm not expecting a real long life. I just don't have that in my genes.
Okay.
So I expect to draw the Social Security
at 62
as early as possible. What's going to be the best way of maximizing that return on my governmental, I hate to use the word investment, return on my obligation?
None of these are going to really impact it that much. There is a potential taxation on it. But the income from the real estate will probably do a lot of the taxation on that. How much income from real estate do you show every year as a taxable event?
Well, about $60,000.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Your Social Security is going to be taxable, but nothing's going to hurt it.
Yeah, Scott, listen, I got to take a break. We've got to end the hour here. So if you have any other questions, hold on. We can talk to you maybe during the top of the hour here. Stick around. Marcia in Phoenix, I know you got a question. We will talk to you as well. If you need the Brain Trust off the air, the phone number over at Lucia Capital Group for any of the Brain Trust advisors across the country, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, coming right back right after this.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, Canada, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.